Hello there, and welcome to the Nutrition Diva Podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagle, and today's topic is both timely and tasty, and it was suggested by Jane. She wrote, "With colder weather approaching here in the Northeast, I make a lot of hot chocolate from scratch, and I'd like to know if powdered cacao has more antioxidants than cocoa powder. There's a big difference in price, so is it worth paying extra for powdered cacao?" The health benefits attributed to chocolate stem mostly from compounds known as cocoflavanols, and these are antioxidants that are unique and specific to the cacao bean. These flavanols have been linked to reduced blood pressure, cholesterol, and inflammation. They can increase your insulin sensitivity, which improves your body's ability to regulate your blood sugar and can help prevent type 2 diabetes. And they may also improve blood flow to the brain, which can help protect cognitive function as we age. There's also research to suggest that regular intake of these flavanols can improve the texture and structure of your skin. And if all that weren't enough, chocolate also contains compounds that make you feel happier. The only potential fly in the cocoa butter is that most people get their cocoa flavanols primarily in the form of chocolate, which also contains a fair amount of sugar, fat, and calories, along with those health-promoting antioxidants. Cocoa powder and powdered cacao, on the other hand, are both quite low in sugar and fat, and the difference between them lies in how they are processed. Cacao requires a lot of processing. The first step is to remove the cacao beans from the fleshy pods that they grow in. And that pulp, by the way, is also edible, but it tastes more fruity than chocolatey. At this point in the processing, the cacao beans are quite astringent, and in order to render them edible, they first need to be fermented and dried. And the beans are then cracked and shelled, leaving the cacao nibs, which are then roasted to reduce the bitterness and deepen the flavor. And then the final step is to separate the cocoa butter from the cocoa solids, which are then ground into cocoa powder. One more processing step involves treating that cocoa powder with an alkalizing agent. Alkalized cocoa is often referred to as Dutch cocoa after the Dutchman who invented the process. So raw cacao powder is not truly raw because that would be inedible, but it is processed at very low temperatures, and that does preserve more of those cocoa flavanols. But it also affects the flavor profile. Raw cacao powder will tend to be more bitter and less chocolatey in flavor than cocoa powder that's made from roasted beans. And then that Dutching process removes even more of those bitter compounds. However, as I mentioned, the roasting and alkalizing processes do destroy some of that antioxidant content. So raw cacao powder is going to be the highest in antioxidants, Dutch cocoa will be the lowest, and regular cocoa powder is somewhere in between. Now, these three ingredients are not interchangeable. You may really enjoy the flavor of raw cacao, but if you're using it in recipes that call for cocoa powder, just be aware that substituting raw cacao is going to give you a different result. And by the same token, if your recipe calls for Dutch cocoa, substituting regular cocoa powder or raw cacao powder will also affect that end product. If you're making homemade hot chocolate, I personally think that you'll get the best balance of flavor and health benefits by using regular and not Dutch cocoa powder rather than powdered cacao. Remember, many, if not most, of the health benefits that have been observed with the consumption of chocolate did not involve raw cacao powder. So even if some of the antioxidants are destroyed, there are evidently enough left to provide a lot of benefits. It's sort of similar to the situation with vegetables. Yes, cooking can reduce the amount of certain nutrients in fresh vegetables. For that matter, so can freezing, drying, washing, or even just storing fresh vegetables. The point is that there are still plenty of nutrients left. So instead of worrying about nutrient losses, I suggest that you prepare your vegetables however you and your family enjoy them most. That's likely to result in eating more vegetables, which is ultimately going to have a bigger impact on your nutrient intake than how they're prepared. Now, you know, most people rarely use cocoa powder for anything besides making hot chocolate, brownies, or chocolate frosting. But there are a lot more ways to incorporate this healthy ingredient into your meal plans in ways that don't then also increase your sugar intake. I'd like to suggest moving your cocoa powder from the shelf where you keep your baking ingredients and put it where you keep your spices instead. Thinking of cocoa powder as a spice opens up a whole new world of uses. And here are a few ideas to get you started. Central American cuisine often combines unsweetened chocolate or cocoa with hot chili peppers. This is the basis for the classic mole sauce. But you can also just throw a spoonful of unsweetened cocoa powder into your favorite chili recipe. Dry spice rubs offer an alternative to wet marinades for meat. They add flavor and they do also help prevent the formation of harmful compounds when the meat is grilled. Try combining cocoa powder, black pepper, kosher salt, and freshly ground coffee beans for a dark and complex spice rub for pork or beef tenderloin. Try adding a spoonful of cocoa powder to black bean soup for an unexpected treat. And this works equally well with soup out of the can or homemade. You can also stir cocoa powder into bean dip or refried beans to excellent effect. The bitterness of cocoa powder pairs brilliantly with the sweetness of balsamic vinegar. Try whisking some cocoa powder into a good aged balsamic and then drizzling in some walnut oil for a homemade vinaigrette. It's especially good over roasted beet salad or, dare I say it, over vanilla ice cream. Curry powder typically includes turmeric, cumin, ginger, and other assertive flavors. And cocoa's slightly bitter astringency fits right in here and adds an unexpected twist. Try mixing a little cocoa powder into your curry powder, and this would be particularly good in a curried eggplant dish. And finally, if you do choose to get some of your flavanols from good old-fashioned chocolate, here's a tip. Most people assume that the higher the cacao percentage of the chocolate, you'll see it on the front of the package, 56, 61, 80, that the higher that number is, the better it is for you. But this is not necessarily true. As with gourmet coffee, you can now buy gourmet dark chocolate with a pedigree that specifies where the beans were grown. And this makes a difference. On average, cocoa beans grown in Ecuador, Colombia, and on the Ivory Coast have almost twice the flavanol content of beans from the Dominican Republic or Peru. If you have a nutrition question you'd like me to answer, you can email it to me at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com. You can also leave me a voicemail at 443-961-6206. And just a reminder that we're going to be starting a new group in the Weigh Less program in January. If you'd like to learn more about our group coaching program for sustainable weight loss, all of the details are at weighless.life. Nutrition Diva is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Nathan Semmes with script editing by Adam Cecil. And thank you also to Morgan Christensen, Holly Hutchings, Davina Tomlin, and Cameron Lacey. And this is Monica Reinagle. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week.